Hello. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Stirring the Pot. You're listening to Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FMLP, KVSH on Vashon Island, Washington. We're coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Vashon. And I'm Linda Nygaard, and with me in the studio today are two of my favorite people on Earth. We have Heidi Skrypek at engineering at the board and offering color commentary sometimes.
Hello.
Hi, Heidi. And we have co-host Celine Demir.
Well, hello.
Hello, Celine. Gosh, I haven't seen either one of you in such a long time. It's nice to see you.
I know,
hi.
Right?
Hi. Are we enjoying the summer?
We are. It's been so wonderful.
Oh, I'm loving this weather.
I'm loving the sunshine.
Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't live in Washington, you must know that we really appreciate when the sun shows up because it has been a rather gray and rainy long few months. We had a pretty wet spring with some pretty cold weather, and now all of a sudden everyone's complaining about how hot it is. If it gets 75, it's like, oh, it's just too hot for me.
That's me. Yeah.
That's me too. I'm not really a heat person. I don't do well with heat.
I just love the sunshine.
But the warmth of the sunshine always makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
So it's been a busy couple of weeks in my world. I don't know about you. What you been doing, Heidi?
I've been learning the wide world of real estate, and it's a very busy season right now on the island.
Oh, my goodness.
So are you a real estate agent now?
I'm not. I did the Crammer last week.
Uh-huh.
Crammer is this online instructor-led course where they run you through all the possible questions, and there's a lot of math, and that's where I bonked on the math. I sailed through the law, but there's probably like 15% math.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, why am I bonking this so badly? I didn't get to that chapter yet.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have a good excuse.
It's really hard. I was a real estate agent for a while in Oregon, and I remember it was really hard. The good news is when you get to the test, you'll already know. It's not that bad. The test isn't that bad.
Hallelujah.
They make you study a lot of stuff and learn a lot of stuff that then you never use again. Just sort of like algebra, you know?
I'm close. I'm so close.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening in my world. That and a garden.
And
going
gardening.
Crazy. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Has it just exploded?
Right now, this week, hot on the docket. I have Rapunzels of snap peas. Just so many snap peas.
Lovely, lovely.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very good problem.
It is a good problem. How about you, Celine?
We did some traveling in this last, because I haven't been on the show for almost a month now.
Yeah,
so
I know.
We've been to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a wonderful time there. We just got back from Winthrop.
Oh, you went over there.
Yeah. So we experienced the Western town. Well, you know, we got to take our German exchange student for some American experience. So we thought a Western themed town would be fun. We didn't want to take her to Leavenworth.
got it.
Yeah,
she'd probably
roll her eyes in Leavenworth, you know?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, I mean,
It's fun, though.
The town is a very cute little town, but the nature is just amazing.
Is it?
We stopped by at the Diablo Lake, and that the color of the Diablo Lake was incredible.
Oh, cool.
We dipped our toes.
I've never been there.
Oh,
I have to show some
pictures.
Mm.
And then we stopped by at the Gorge Lake, and then we stopped by at the, what was the other, Mazama Town?
Oh, yeah.
We tasted some really yummy bread there. So we were comparing to Uluch bread.
I bet Uluch liked it.
Uluch did not like it.
Oh, he didn't. It wasn't up to par.
He didn't come with us.
Oh, he didn't.
So we brought some home with him yesterday. He goes like, yeah, it's a little too chewy. Like,
oh, my God.
Well, he's the champ. He's the champion bread baker, that's for sure.
We're very picky with our bread because of him.
Well, now you can be.
Yeah. And then last Friday, we were at the Woman Hold the Key, and Teresa Mosqueda came over.
Oh, wow.
Which was a lovely event, and we kind of got to know her a little bit and listen to all the wonderful things she's done. And she learned about Woman Hold the Key. I baked these little spinach bites with puff pastry.
Mm-hmm. I saw them, and they were like little pinwheels of deliciousness. Yeah.
So I added spinach, and Ulich is into cheese making now. Mm-hmm. Did I tell you this?
Mm-hmm, you did.
So he's into cheese making, and he made ricotta cheese, but then it's cultured ricotta cheese.
Okay.
And that's aged about a week.
Oh.
So it was incredible. I really enjoyed it. So I put that in with the spinach, and I made these little puff pastry mm-hmm. bites.
Yum.
It was really good. Mm-hmm.
And beautiful.
And then the sweet ones, I used another puff pastry, but I put chestnut puree. I don't know if you guys ever mm-hmm. tried chestnut puree. I get them online, and it's from France. Nice. It's not very sweet. It's literally just chestnuts puree.
Mm-hmm.
I just put that on, and I roll the puff pastry, and I put a little bit of salt and egg wash. Sugar, and I baked those, and they were perfect,
too.
Oh,
I bet they were. Mm. And you had, I remember on the spinach ricotta ones, you had nigella seeds.
Of course.
Her famous nigella seeds. I told Celine not too long ago that you were growing nigella. So
yeah, it says nigella sativa on the seed.
Uh-huh.
And they look like these wispy flowers. It's a little kind of cup-like flower. And I don't know if it's the same nigella, but it says nigella sativa. And that this, and they're tiny, like this big of a flower bloom.
Uh-huh.
And
she's pointing to her little finger.
Yes, pinky tip. For those listening, and then the seeds themselves, when I planted them, they're just these little black flecks.
Well, that's like they are. That's how they must use them.
Yeah.
We got to do some taste tasting.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. I know.
I really never knew much about nigella seeds. Mm-hmm. What are they? I've seen them and.
You know, Ulich bought black sesame seeds. And then mm-hmm. he thought they were the same. And I said, they're not the same, honey. Mm-mm. He's like, they're exactly the same. And I'm like, no, taste it now. They're very, very different. Nigella mm-hmm. seeds have this aroma that's not in the black sesame seeds. Mm-hmm. Very different.
They look similar.
They look very similar. But they're not the same thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people, that's what they refer them as. I'm like, no.
Oh, no, not even close.
Wrong-o.
So the
wrong-o.
People who know, you know the difference.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah.
So. Well, it has been busy. I've been busy,
it's
too.
Been busy, yeah.
I don't know what I've been doing. I've been cooking a little bit
mm-hmm.
And baking, of course, which is, you know, what I love to do. And I'm getting ready to go to Portland over the weekend, so that'll be fun.
Mm.
And just, you know, not doing a lot of, I mean, I know I'm busy, but I don't know what it is I've been doing. Running around like a chicken with my head cut
off. You should try that falafel I had in Portland.
Oh, I probably won't, but...
No?
No. Well, no. I'm actually going to a little town outside of Portland,
okay.
So before I get... I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
It was the best falafel ever.
In Portland. Was it at Saturday Market?
It was at the Saturday Market.
In a cart?
It was a little cart
by
Lebanese family. It was incredible.
There's really good Lebanese food in Portland. Really good Lebanese food. There's a Lebanese restaurant in mm-hmm. the old section of Portland that I used to go to, and it's really
so good.
I think Portland has, I know there's some disagreement about this, but I think Portland has it over Seattle in the food world. I really do.
Food carts and then the variety of mm-hmm. food that we've mm-hmm. just seen, like you can't mm-hmm. even taste it in a couple of days.
But right.
The amount of food carts and the options were just out of this world.
And
amazing.
In lots of different neighborhoods.
Yeah.
They're kind of all over.
And it was really good. Everything we ate. We just enjoyed every bite of it. Mm-hmm. It was so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
So I have a fun little game I want to play with you guys.
Oh.
Heidi,
I just have some questions I want to ask you.
Shall we afraid, Heidi?
Ready.
You know, we are food-centric here on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it very interesting to think about and learn about what other people's favorite foods are and how they like to eat them and, mm-hmm. you know, what they think about. So I just have a few questions that I'm going to ask both of you, and you can just answer me.
Okay.
So the first one is, let's pretend you're in a donut shop.
Oh.
Okay, you're in a donut shop. Mm. What's the donut you order?
You go first, Celine.
I like the plain fried and glazed. That's like a
with
simple,
nothing.
Yeah, like nothing on it.
Yeah.
I don't like the cake donuts.
Okay.
They're not my thing. Just they need to be fried with just a little bit of glaze. Mm-hmm. That's my jam.
Especially if they're still warm. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What about you, Miss Heidi?
Apple fritter.
Oh, I like apple fritter too.
Yum. Well, those are fried too.
Yeah.
And glazed.
They love apple fritter too. Yeah. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Like if that's the instinct donut.
The instinct donut?
I cleared my mind and my palate as you asked your question. I'm not even looking over to that side. Not looking at that side of the board just because it hit me.
Okay. And there it was. Well, that's good. Okay. What's your favorite way to eat potatoes?
Mashed with cottage cheese and Parmesan.
Oh, cottage cheese.
Oh, makes it really yummy. I never even thought about it with cottage cheese.
I never did either.
David makes it like that.
Well, of course he does. Yes. You're so spoiled.
Are you going to tell us yours, though?
Well, no, because I already did on a different show.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
So we don't get to hear that.
You have to listen to the last show. So what about you, Celine? How do you like potatoes?
I love french fries all the way.
And tell me what kind of french fry you like. Because there are several kinds, you know, thick and creamy ones or skinny crisp ones or...
So I like two ways. Mm-hmm. So I like those very skinny, like, you know what, in the good old days, what they used to call it, the McDonald's fries.
Yeah.
You know, the skinny, really good. They don't do that anymore. Right. It's just all weird. But back in the days, they were good. Mm-hmm. And those are like the skinny, crispy ones I love. And then the other ones that I like is really crispy outside. It's a tad bit bigger, but it's soft inside.
In the middle. Mm-hmm. A little bit thicker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, I can taste them. Lots of salt.
And one time, Luch fermented potatoes and fried them. That was incredible.
Never heard of such a thing.
Never had that before.
I bet it would be.
Which was really good. It won't. So he made a bunch of them, and then he put them in the freezer. And when we fried the frozen ones, didn't taste as good. So you have to, like, you ferment, and then you dry it, and you fry it, and you eat it. If it waits, it does not taste good.
Oh.
I don't know why.
So it's a right now thing.
Yeah. It was good.
Yum.
It was very different. Like the flavor was different with that fermentation. Mm-hmm. Mm. It was very good.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, here's the next one. What's your favorite way to eat an egg?
I like scrambled with veg and goat cheese.
And do you like soft scrambled or hard scrambled?
Hard.
Do you? No gooey?
That's kind of not so gooey. Yeah. Just in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about you?
So I'm not a huge egg fan. So if I eat an egg, I would love them on poached eggs.
Okay.
Those are good.
And poached eggs in the way that we cooked or I learned to eat from Turkey is you cook the poached egg and you put it on top of a garlic yogurt with salt.
Oh, cool.
And then on the side, you heat up butter with Aleppo pepper, dried mint. You create a little sauce. You heat up and then the colors kind of go into the butter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pour it over and you eat it with fresh bread. It is out of this world. Awesome.
It just sounds like a big ooey gooey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I love the ooey gooeyness.
A lot of ooey gooeys going on there. It's so delicious. That's my favorite.
Hetty was on the show last week and we talked about eggs and we both are fanatics because we like a runny egg.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to ask for the runny egg every time we order it out, you know, because nobody gets it right. But it's just not right if it's hard. It's just not right. Okay, what about pasta? What's your favorite pasta, Heidi?
Handmade. Through the, you know, our Cuisinart attachment. I like ravioli, like a spinach or a nettle ravioli.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nettle ravioli.
Yeah.
Nettle?
Oh, yeah.
Do you pick nettles?
David will do it.
Yes. Oh, I got stung by nettles one time and I'm afraid to go near them.
I gotta put on leather. I'm such a wimp. Leather gloves, because I get the big bumps, you know.
I did too. Yeah. It was terrible.
But just you do it and then he blanches them.
Mm-hmm.
And And then, yeah, it's magic.
And they and the magic happens when you blanch them. All the poison goes away, and they don't hurt you anymore. It's amazing that
it's really good for you.
Like, yes. Who discovered that they could do that? Because they're so mean. It's such a mean plant.
Yeah, you know? It really is.
It really it's really a mean plant. Celine, what's your favorite herb?
It's oregano.
Is it? Mm-hmm. And, okay, so let's.
But it's the Mediterranean.
I was going to say, let's talk about oregano. Yeah.
Please elaborate.
So it tastes very different, the Mediterranean ones, because I didn't know that, and I purchased the Mexican one, and I was like, oh no, this is not oregano, and I'm probably mispronouncing it. I've been corrected for many, many years how to pronounce it.
I understand what you're saying.
So, but that's like, I put it in pretty much all the meats that I cook. I just love oregano.
Well, isn't Mediterranean oregano a little earthier than Mexican?
I think so.
It's a deeper flavor.
I mean, Mexican is super pungent and super spicy, I find. And the Mediterranean to me is softer.
Yeah.
It's a smoother taste. Yeah. Yeah.
But please come over. We have so much. It's ridiculous.
I will take on that offer because I use it all the time.
Like,
so
you're going to need to spend an hour at my house and just...
and just pick.
I would be happy to do that.
Okay. Good.
Last year, Heidi invited me over to pick herbs. I don't know what I was making. Oh, I think I was making a Persian herb salad.
Ooh.
And I didn't have... this and that and the other, and we spent probably, I don't know, at least an hour out there poking around and looking around, and they all grow in different places. Yeah. You know, it's not like there's this big herb garden. It's like they're hidden
chaos
in the woods, kind of, and one by this tree, and oh, the chives are over there, and it's just wonderful.
I'm like a used car salesman. Do you want this? Come over here. Come here.
This stuff's free.
Well, you just gave me a dill, so.
Okay, yes. So one more question for you. Actually, I have two. But Heidi, do you have a favorite kitchen utensil? Like that you just couldn't live without?
The wooden just a rubber spatula. I am into the rubber spatula all the time because I blend a lot of things and process a lot of things. I'm doing a ton of protein smoothies, but I'm using my food processor because I find it blends better than my stupid old blender.
Yeah.
So I don't want to waste any of that.
I know.
Just wonderful, expensive protein powder and fruits, you know, and things. So
do you have the silicone ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The silicone, and Estovalo is the company. They wrote their catalog.
They're so
a long time
good.
Ago.
They're just really so good.
They're
I used to think I was a rubber spatula collector because I had them in all colors and all sizes. And
yes.
I still have quite a few of them. But man, you know, if you have just the right rubber spatula, there's nothing like it.
Agreed.
I mean, you can even scramble eggs with them and do, you know, it's like, it's a very, it's a versatile tool.
It's a perfect way to scrape everything. Yes, and you don't
everything.
Leave any goodness behind.
Nothing is wasted. Yeah. What about you?
I actually agree with you on that too.
Is that your favorite?
I love the silicone spatulas and make sure that every corner, every taste is included in my food.
And don't you like all the different kinds of handles? I mean, some of them are wide and some of them are narrow and some of them are sort of shaped for your hand.
Wood. It's got to be like a nice soft cart.
Yes.
I like the wood one.
I love that too. I love that.
Yeah.
So one more question. When you're at home and you don't feel like cooking, but you're hungry and you want to eat, what's your favorite sort of go-to, we would call it a slap-up supper, kind of just throw something together and eat it? Like, what would that be?
I'm a terrible person because I plan.
You do.
I'm a maniac, so. but we do keep all these frozen vacuum-packed fish downstairs in the freezer. So if we're just tired and we don't want to do anything, we will take some of those, and they're flash frozen. So it's quick to defrost and quick to cook and easy peasy protein. That's all. So tilapia, it's tilapia. It's easy peasy. But it's not my favorite thing. Like, I would rather have that big roast chicken, which is tonight's meal.
Oh, good. You did it. Yeah. And then tomorrow it'll be something else. And the next day,
right.
Yeah.
Super, I know. Super baked potato, super nachos.
I know how you
salad.
Work.
Salad.
What about you, Celine?
For me, it's either nachos or chips and salsa.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah.
If I'm not in
just grab
to
a bag.
Do anything, just grab that Juanita's tortilla chips.
Oh my
That's
God,
my favorite.
Best.
Yeah.
They're so good.
They're so good.
Because I can even eat them without anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because it's just so tasty. And so it's that with salsa, or if I don't have salsa, I can always just put some cheese on it and microwave it and make it a nachos out of it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's simple as that.
I love nachos. I love chips, corn chips.
If we did a test, I bet if I had a GoPro and Celine walked around with an open, one of those extra large bags of Juanita's tortilla chips.
Yeah.
And just walked down the street to passerby and she did this, people would freaking empty that bag
they
by
would.
The time she got to the end of the
they
block.
Would.
True.
They're
yeah.
so
True.
Good.
They're so good. I don't know what's in them, but
salt.
They're so good.
Yeah, a lot of salt.
Yeah.
But they're really good. They're the best for sure.
Yeah.
For sure they are.
Even the texture is different though. It's just, I don't know. I compare a lot with the other chips and I still haven't found a different chips that I like.
Well, have you, so now we're in cherry season already. Have you had cherries yet this year?
No.
Oh my. Well, you must have had some when you were over in Western Washington. No?
We didn't see it. And we didn't see any fruits in Winthrop. So interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
that was
crazy.
So bizarre.
Well, maybe they're bringing them all this way. You know, we need to give a big shout out to our sponsors. We couldn't do this without you, and we love you for helping us broadcast this show.
This portion of Voice of Vashon programming is brought to you by PSCCU, proud to be Washington's Green Credit Union, practicing socially responsible banking by supporting sustainability, job creation, local economies, communities statewide, and our environment. Learn more at psccu.org.
Support provided by Hawthorne Stereo, sellers of exceptional hi-fi since 1946. Hawthorne specializes in new and used stereo music systems from vintage turntables to high-end digital streaming and beyond. You can find them on the web at hawthornestereo.com.
Hello, and we're back.
Boom.
You are listening to Stirring the Pot on KVSH LP FM 101.9 in Vashon, Washington. Stirring the Pot. I want to circle back to the protein shake, Heidi.
Oh, sure.
Because I've been doing that too.
Oh, have
and I'm,
you?
I'm loving, I'm loving my protein shake in the morning, and I'm never hungry then after I eat it.
It's good.
I drink it, whatever you do with it.
Yeah.
But do you put greens in yours? Tell me what you put in yours.
No, I go
fruity.
All last year we had raspberries and strawberries, so they're coming out of the freezer, and they're the perfect little ice cube, sweet, and so it tastes so good. I throw in a banana. I use Orgain chocolate protein.
Okay.
It's this organic plant-based protein powder. Mm. It's not whey, but I have whey that I. Because I sound so lame and nerdy when I talk about this stuff. I'm like, stop. But I'm just going to take you there anyway. Here's my journey.
It's my personal journey.
I make Greek yogurt. And so when I strain it through the cheesecloth, I have all that beautiful clear.
Oh, sure.
It's almost like a late green whey.
Yeah.
And I save it because it makes a lot of it. And so that is wonderful as a liquid to put into back in. So it's like protein
and
on
healthy,
protein
healthy.
On protein. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's fiber and all that stuff in there. And then, so yeah, done.
Yeah, I'm not, I'm sticking with the fruit.
Okay.
I have a good friend who makes her smoothie every morning, and there's spinach and there's everything in it, and it's green, but there's also fruit in it. And I can't do the color. I just can't. So, I've discovered what I've been doing is frozen mangoes.
Yes.
Winning. Oh my God. And I got a protein powder that it's an organic, I forget the name of it, but it's a coconut flavored protein powder. So if you have mangoes and coconut and a little bit of yogurt and, you know, some chia seeds or whatever, all that other stuff.
You just go to Hawaii every morning.
I know. It's so good. And then I ran out of mangoes and it was like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? And I had some blueberries and some chocolate.
Yummy.
Premier.
Yep.
I mean protein. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's Premier protein. So I'm sort of new to that whole protein shake thing, but I'm becoming very addicted to it. It doesn't feel like morning unless I have it now.
Nice. Oh, good.
And it's so good for you.
It's so good for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you looked at all the nutrition breakdown of what mm-hmm. you're getting, obviously you're getting your protein, you're getting fiber from the fruit.
Right.
It's
a milkshake.
All of it. Yeah, you know, kind of.
Well, it is, really. Oh, I mean, depending on how much ice you put in it or how many frozen strawberries or something. But
true.
I have my secret sinful food is I love a hamburger. Not often, but when I crave it, I want it. And so I want a hamburger with a greasy bun and a fried hamburger with fried onions, dill pickles, and mustard. Only. And then on the side is a chocolate milkshake. And all those flavors together, I know, sound just ungodly, but it is so good. So what I'm able to do now is have a chocolate protein shake instead of a shake. And so I'm saving calories and I'm getting more protein. And I'm just thrilled with that idea because, you know, a small milkshake's like 1,000 calories. It's huge calories. Oh, yeah. And this is 160. It's like it's a whole, awesome. And still it's chocolate with.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of becoming a big proponent of that. That's a whole new world for me. It's a whole new world.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yay.
Do you do protein shakes?
I don't do the protein shakes, but I do chia pudding. So chia seeds,
flax
seeds. Mm-hmm. I mix it with water and then I put yogurt and frozen berries.
Mm-hmm.
That's my breakfast.
That's and a real, I love chia pudding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just recently discovered that.
Yeah,
and
it's good.
I've been really enjoying it. It keeps me full until like 1 o'clock.
So for those of you who don't know, it's like 2 cups of liquid if you want to use coconut cream or coconut milk, mm-hmm. and about 1/4 cup, I would say, of chia seeds. I mean, you just kind of pour some in. You don't want to put too many in or it'll get like rubber.
Yeah.
But then it's ready in a couple hours.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sits in the, it's so good.
I do it overnight.
Yeah.
And if I see it's a little bit more liquidy, I will put a little bit more chia seeds.
Yeah.
And then by the time I get to work, it'll be perfect.
And so that's protein.
Mm-hmm.
Chia seeds are protein and it's also fiber. It's really good
for
you.
And I put flax seeds in there too.
Mm-hmm.
Like ground flax seeds, so it kind of
yeah.
It's really
so
good.
Basically, it's kind of the same thing. You're
kinda,
just doing
yeah.
it a little differently.
I just don't do the protein mm-hmm. powder stuff.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, Celine, you we had a guest, Greg.
Yes.
What's Greg's last name? Please say it again.
It's oh my gosh, why did I?
Did we forget?
No. We're with.
Is it a Hispanic last name? Why do I think that all of a sudden? I don't know why.
Jetty.
Greg.
I'm sorry.
Greg. Hi, Greg.
We love you. Tell us what Greg is up to now. It's pretty exciting, really.
So Greg has Friday the 13th, and Greg and his spouse, has a Strings and Sunlight 2025. And which is they're going to have a string quartet enjoyed by us and a nearby grazing alpacas. It's going to be right on there.
At the peony farm.
At the peony farm. Mm-hmm. Vachon Peony Farm.
Cool.
And there will be a picnic spread set and beautiful views, and the tickets are on sale. So if you
how much are the tickets? Do you know?
I believe
does it say
about $60.
Okay. And when? What's the date?
It's Friday the 13th at 5:30 this Friday.
Oh, fun. It'll be beautiful weather.
And the peonies are blooming.
Mm-hmm.
All the other beautiful flowers are blooming. The alpacas.
Yeah, that just sounds lovely. And a string
alpacas
quartet.
Don't bloom.
I was laughing. The alpacas are blooming.
Like,
did you know I started to laugh because I was like ready to say something? Then I was like, what do? They don't spit like llamas,
no.
Right?
Just, what do
no,
they do?
They're very nice.
They're just being
they're
cute.
They're very, very nice.
Smiling.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, Celine had an idea last week. We were talking about pistachios.
The pistachio craze.
Yes. And there's like this pistachio craze going on now, I guess.
Which... And there's a peony craze too.
Oh, yes.
It's having its day. This flower is having its day.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yes, pistachios.
Pistachios. Back to pistachios.
Yeesh.
So I did a little research on pistachios. I do love pistachios, mm-hmm. and I don't often think of them as a subject matter for talking. I mean, you know, just I don't think of them as something that is something we would talk about. But they have a very interesting history in that legend has it that they were a favorite of Queen of Sheba, mm-hmm. which would have been like 300 years B.C., was back in that day. And she used to demand that all of the production of these beautiful pistachios were for her and her staff. And the common people couldn't have any.
Oh, my.
So, and then it wasn't until about 500 years later that they were introduced in Italy. And that was, you know, through trade and that kind of thing. The Venetian Republic in particular had close ties with Syria, which was one of the main cultivation areas for mm-hmm. pistachios. So they came to northern Italy and the Venetian Republic, they called it. But they weren't introduced into north of the Alps until for years, 100 years, I think. And they used to be called, and I don't know, I tried to find out why they were called this, but they used to be called the Latin penny nut.
Penny nut?
Penny, like P-E-N-N-Y. And so they were used primarily in Italy for cooking, you know, baked goods. Mm-hmm. And then after World War II, they gradually changed from an expensive snack to something that was really fun to cook with. Mm-hmm. And American pistachios came here in the 1880s. And were especially popular, as you can imagine, with Middle Eastern immigrants at that time. Mm-hmm. They were sold for a dozen a nickel in 1880. So that seems like a lot of money for a dozen pistachios.
Yeah.
I mean, a nickel back then? Mm-hmm. But that's what my research said. So right now, the main producer of pistachios is the United States, although they're grown in the Middle Eastern countries, as you know, because mm-hmm. of the dry climate. And California, of course, is the king of pistachios. And they got there with through a man called William E. Whitehouse, who went to Persia to collect pistachios. Mm. And then he germinated and he played with them and he got new trees and he grafted and he did all that kind of stuff. But he died before they were nuts. He never got to see them.
Oh, no.
Which is too bad. But, you know, they take 7 to 10 years to mature. So anyway, they're also wind pollinated as opposed to pollinated by the bees, which I didn't know. I just, you know.
That's
and get this. This will make you laugh. Just one male tree is required to pollinate 30 females.
All right. He's a fertile tree.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, it's typical.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Nice.
Anyway, in 1976, there was a record crop of 408,000 metric tons from California.
Wow.
Okay.
And today it's a huge piece of California's economy. But the bad news is that year to date, like right now, through the end of March, well, so it's not quite year to date, but through the end of March, because of the tariffs, the exports have dropped 25%, which is millions of pounds.
Oh, wow.
And so there's a surplus now. Although it depends on who you talk to, because some of the marketing people will say, we have more than we can sell anyway. And then some of the others who've lost their market say, we have nothing to sell now because we have no market. So I don't know what they're going to do. But anyway, I thought it was really interesting. And I do you remember, do either of you know about my first pistachio experience was Watergate pudding or Watergate salad. Do you remember that? You're probably too young.
I don't know what that is.
You remember what Watergate is? That was a Nixon era president.
I heard about it,
yeah. And there was a Watergate hotel. And apparently they had a salad there that was made with pistachio pudding and Cool Whip and pineapple.
Okay,
and
got it.
So they make this fluffy thing, you know, which they still have. They have it at IGA. Called Watergate salad.
No kidding.
So it's pretty terrible. I mean, it's really, it's a fluffy marshmallowy thing. So that was my first experience with pistachios. And then I started, through Celine's suggestion, to look at some different recipes. And I found some really interesting things. Tonight for dinner, I'm making pistachio, well, for tomorrow night's dinner, actually, pistachio gazpacho.
Oh, that sounds good.
Which is, you know, you have to pulverize and do all that to make and strain it and make it pure. And it has fennel and onions and spices. It doesn't have very many spices. Mm. A little bit of sour cream, some cream. And then you garnish it with a little bit of sprigs of onions and green onions, you know.
Wow,
and it just sounds so good.
Interesting. I've never...
I wouldn't have thought of it either. And yeah. I just was doing, you know, looking at pistachios online and I saw that recipe. So also for our listeners, I should let you know that I made a pistachio coffee cake this morning. And I brought
so
a taste in. So
everyone.
I want you guys to tell me what you liked of it or what you didn't like of it.
It just has a wonderful deep flavor that it when you smell it, it's almost like you're lifting up a cookie jar. It's this sort of like molassesy coffee can kind of smell. Ooh, it's really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was so delicious. And it wasn't overly sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So, 'cause sometimes coffee cakes can be a little too sweet. This was just perfect.
Yeah.
And it just crumbles in your mouth. Just, loved it.
Well, you know, thank you. I thought it was really good myself. And the interesting thing about this is that you soak coffee grounds in milk to put that in the batter, which is a whole new, I'd never done that before. And I'll post the recipe on Stirring the Pot and we'll on our Facebook page so that you can make it out there. It's really fun to make. You make a streusel with crushed, put your blender, put your pistachios in the blender, crush them all up, add some butter and some melted butter and cinnamon and flour and some sugar and make a topping. Mm-hmm. Then you make the batter, which has that milk, and you put the whole coffee grounds in the batter, which I thought, oh man, I don't want to be crunching on coffee grounds, but you can't. You can't tell that they're in there. It just really deepens the flavor. So, and it's not really, it's a little green. It's not very green. It's kind of a almondy color.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing about pistachios that I learned is that they have as much nutritional value as almonds, and they are much more friendly to the environment because they don't require so much water to grow.
And because you mentioned they're wind pollinated, they don't require the bees, which means that the bees don't suffer from monocropping like they do in the almond fields.
Oh, sure.
And the pesticides that are used in the almond fields.
Yeah.
Very few almond orchards in California are organic, which means that there's a lot of chemicals that get into the bees' immune systems when they're in that migratory tract. So, yay,
I think
pistachios.
Yeah, so, you know, some of the nutritional information I read on them indicates that, you know, people are wild for almonds. You get the chocolate almonds and the almond this and the almond that because it's so nutritional. That you can use pistachios instead and still get the same benefits.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. I mean, I love almonds too, but these are less expensive, I think. And they're also as wonderfully flavorful that we like. But Celine, you brought in a couple different kinds of pistachios today.
Yes.
What you got?
So As I mentioned before, I grew up in Turkey, and pistachios in Turkey is big, and that's how baklavas are made, and then there are a variety of desserts that are made with pistachios. So I wanted to kind of compare the pistachios from California and pistachios from Turkey, and they're usually from a city called Gaziantep, which is in the southeastern Turkey. It's a really, really hot state. So it's almost like, you know, California, really hot state and very close to the border of Syria. So it makes all sense that they're all around the same climate. Mm-hmm. So I brought some bags of Turkish pistachios, what we call it, fıstık. And
say that again.
Fıstık.
How do you spell that?
F-I-S-T-I-K.
Fıstık.
Yep.
And that is pistachio in Turkey?
Yep.
Okay.
And the other one is, I brought it from Trader Joe's pistachios from California. And so we were kind of comparing them.
Mm-hmm.
And the Turkish ones, they're much smaller than the American ones. And I would like you guys to kind of, because you compared it to me, it's it tastes sweeter and nuttier
mm-hmm.
than the American pistachios. And they're much bigger. The American pistachios are much bigger,
mm-hmm.
Where the Turkish pistachios are much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a purple hue inside of the meaty part of mm-hmm. the nut.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to need to eat one to re-examine.
They're different textures, too.
Yes.
You know, the turkey ones are really crispier, but that could be a difference in the roasting.
Crunchier.
Mm-hmm. They're crunchier, crispier.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the nutty. They're much more nutty.
Mm-hmm.
They taste like a nut. Whereas American pistachios are wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Here's your taste.
I mean, they're just different. It's a different taste. And I wonder how they would be interchangeable. I mean, you could use either one.
So. I mean, I have been using the pistachios that I get from Trader Joe's all the time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and because it's much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get the Turkish pistachios is pretty expensive.
Those are really earthy. They're really earthy. And, I mean, we have slightly different method of processing on mm-hmm. the California ones. California ones taste like pinolas to me almost by comparison to these Turkish ones.
Interesting. Mm. Yeah, they do. Oh, the mm-hmm. texture's kind of like a pinola too. It's that almost creamy inside,
mm-hmm.
whereas inside the turkey ones, they're turkeya ones are crispier. They're just harder.
Crunchier. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but boy, mm-hmm. the back palate on the Turkish ones are just so much fuller.
Mm-hmm.
These are on the front.
It's a big flavor.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting comparison. One of them is in the front. One of them is in the
mm-hmm. totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, we are going to take a little tiny break here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Yeah.
VOV underwriting support is provided by Puget Sound Energy, offering tips and resources to save energy, save money, and stay warm during these cold winter months at psc.com/lower.
VOV programming support comes from Vashon Thriftway. Locally owned and operated since 1965 and offering everything from organic zucchini to a hot latte or garden boots. Now supporting youth sports broadcasts on KVSH, you'll find them on the web at fashionthriftway.com.
Hello, we're back.
Hello.
Surprise to me. Hi, everybody. You're listening to Stirring the Pot on 101.9 FM KVSH. In Vashon, Washington. And we're sitting here talking about all manner of things, and I'm looking out the window seeing this beautiful summer day, and I'm wondering, are you guys going to go on some picnics, and what do you do for picnics? And let's talk about summer salads and what we like to do in the summer for salads.
So I found this summer salad recipe that I put on Instagram, and I put it in my saved because I'm so going to do this. This is so good. There's pistachios in it, too.
Oh, really? Okay.
So it has watermelon, blueberries, pistachios, feta cheese,
mm-hmm.
and fresh mint.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. That's the one.
Mm-hmm. Large limes, squeezing the mm-hmm. juice over it, and mm-hmm. you mix it all. Olive oil.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Don't skimp on the feta.
No, don't.
Go heavy on the feta.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love the combination of watermelon and feta.
I do too. I love
it's
that.
It's like one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I am so going to make this. And it has, I never added a pistachio into my salads before. So I'm like, since we've been talking about pistachios and I was looking at the recipes, this came out perfectly. And I'm like, okay, this is perfect.
It has
raspberries too. I forgot about the raspberries.
So blueberries, watermelon, raspberries,
mm-hmm.
pistachios.
Yep.
That's like a Northwestified Mediterranean style.
Kind of, isn't it? Yeah.
Because I had that in Santorini, was my first time trying it. And they would serve it in like a sundae glass.
Oh.
So you could see through this glass and it was just piled high. lots of feta and lots, huge cubes of watermelon. And then there was a little bit of, I think, like a balsamic, just a little bit on there, but tons of mint. And it's just, I came home and I couldn't quite recreate it, like how it tasted in Greece.
Well, you never can really.
No.
I mean, it has to do with the earth and the water and, you know, they must have a different sun over there or something.
It is.
Different earth, different sun.
It is. Yeah. Delicious. But you can come close. That sounds really, really good.
Yeah, so this is definitely, I'm going to try this when the watermelons come a little bit sweeter. Because right now they're not quite there yet.
IGA just had a sale. They were $4.98 Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went and got one, and they were very sweet.
Were they?
Seedless personal watermelon, and that was a winner.
I'm going to try that.
So I don't know if they're still that price, but that was a great price.
I love watermelon, but I've been disappointed so many times. It's like, it's not it, you know. But so then you have to put a lot of honey and do some other things with it, to make a salad out of it. And that's good that way. But to just have
tried it with honey.
It's very good that way.
Yummy.
But I have to say that I kind of miss the watermelon with big fat black seeds in it. That flavor, the flavor I think was better and deeper, but like everything else in our past, it was, we remember it as better. So, I love that salad. And I also love a salad niçoise in the summertime. Oh, I love that so much. Yeah. And it's so pretty on a plate. I don't know. Have you ever made one, Celine?
No.
Well, it's just beautiful. You know, beautiful. It's the tuna is the key. You have to use either Spanish or Italian tuna in olive oil. And then, you know, there are a lot of different variations. The authentic, I think, is haricot vert and boiled egg sliced and tuna and Kalamata. Is Kalamata in there? I forget. Sometimes I put Kalamata in there, so I don't know if it's authentic or not, but I've done it with asparagus, too, and that's just as good as the green beans, so I love that, and it's a beautiful presentation. If you have company for dinner or something, you just put everything in a line. You don't mix it up.
Oh, okay.
It's a composed salad, and so people, you pass the, what are you laughing about?
I'm laughing because I can imagine you being all linear. Don't mess up my presentation.
Well, you can't.
You're not supposed to do that.
Don't touch.
Whack. Salad tossers comes spotting across the table.
That's not far from the truth. Get away from that.
You're doing it wrong. I'm just kidding.
So hard to put those lines up.
Yeah. It would be me.
It would be you,
totally
Heidi.
It
would
be you. Yeah. Linda would take all this time to make it beautiful. And I'd be like, oh, gosh, sorry.
hands full of asparagus.
Yep, basically.
Oh, and good. I wouldn't say a word.
You would.
I wouldn't.
No, you're nice that way.
No, I wouldn't say a word, but inside I would be on fire.
Yeah. Never to be invited again. It has been a while. Did I throw out the last time?
No. As a matter of fact, I invited you last week, but you were much too busy.
Oh.
So, you know, you missed it.
I'm under the table.
Yeah. What about you? What kind of salads do you look forward to in the summertime? Are you like a green salad person?
It's red leaf all day right now in my garden. And I grow this wild miner's lettuce. It's like it's almost like a purslane variant. It just grows everywhere.
Oh, really?
They're circular with this
little thing.
Stamen type thing.
Yeah.
That shoots out. Anyway, they're fantastic. It's watery. It's full of nutrients. And
is it like watercress?
Yeah, it's
similar. Well, purslane is a little.
Yeah, it's sort of in that family.
Yum.
And so it just shows up when it shows up. I can't control it, and it's a wonderful problem. So that's growing a lot in my garden. So that, I just go collect greens. I'll do snap pea vines. Delicious.
Do you have a favorite dressing that you use, or do you just do the oil and vinegar thing? Or
olive oil, lemon, honey, balsamic sometimes. It depends on what else is going with it. I have no tomatoes yet.
It'll
be a couple months.
I'm anxiously awaiting tomatoes. I have become addicted to arugula. And just a plate of arugula for dinner with a lovely balsamic dressing and some feta, and I'm home.
That's
just It's so good.
It's so good for you.
And yeah. I didn't realize that arugula had as much nutritional mm-hmm. value oh, yeah. as it does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's much better than eating lettuce.
I get these wild baby arugula mm-hmm. from Trader Joe's. They're so good. Mm. And then sometimes I throw some mandarin oranges in there.
Yeah, that sounds good too.
A little citrusy and goat cheese. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Some berries. And it's just, I love it.
You're living.
I love it.
Yeah, I do too. Mm-hmm.
It's the best.
Mm-hmm. And then we have, you know, the old fashioned salads that we all love, like potato salad. And I don't think I developed it, but I sort of fell into a different way of doing a potato salad, which is not mayonnaise based. Mm-hmm. And it's more olive oil with a little bit of vinegar in it and rosemary Yum. And some oregano and little red potatoes that aren't peeled. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's a really tasty salad. Oh, and I roast the potatoes.
Yeah.
Before I, mm-hmm. you know, I don't just boil them. And oh, man, it was kind of a happy accident that happened, you know.
Yeah.
But it's gotten some pretty good reviews yeah. from people who like to eat.
Yeah, the Turkish cuisine also uses olive oil, lemon juice for a base for mm-hmm. potato salad, not a mayonnaise.
And do they put eggs in theirs?
No.
No eggs.
It's potatoes, greens, like green onions mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. parsley, Italian mm-hmm. parsley, not other parsley.
Not cilantro. Chinese parsley.
Not cilantro.
I just harvested a pound of cilantro.
Did you?
A pound.
I love cilantro. Isn't it interesting that some people cannot do cilantro?
Right over here.
Right here. Celine's really making a face.
I mean, I'll eat it and if it's in salsa, but I would never buy a cilantro.
Did you know that that's a genetic thing?
I heard about
that. It's genetic. And to people who can't eat it, it's genetic. It either tastes like dirt or soap.
Yeah, it's very soapy. It's taken me a long time to grow. Yeah. It's because of David that I've adopted it into my palate.
See, I don't. And to me, when you say it's soapy, I can't even.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't even. What are you talking about?
Wow.
It's green. There's no. So that must. You must have a little bit of that gene.
I do.
In there somewhere.
But I don't taste the soap. It's just. It has a different taste that I just don't care for. Like it hits the different part of my mouth and. And it's not.
I'm bringing some in, and we're going to talk about this.
I think this is a good idea because I have a friend who lives in California who cannot. I mean, if you even say the word cilantro,
oh really?
He can't. He's just beside himself with hate. You know, he hates it, and he can't even be in the room with it.
Growing up, I hated dill because so now I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of figured out why I hated dill because dill was put on fava beans, you know, the fava beans in Turkey, mm-hmm. and I hated them.
Ah.
But we were forced to eat them. We could not get out of the table. And it always had tons of dill on it. And that was the only smell and flavor that just kind of stuck in my head. It's almost like a childhood trauma.
I can see that.
But now I love dill, fresh dill, especially in my tzatziki. You know, I love putting it in tzatziki.
I love dill.
I think that's how I reintroduce it to myself. I put mm-hmm. it on tzatziki. My mom puts tons of dill in tzatziki. So I'm like, oh, I actually like this. And so I ate it more and more now. I love it. And there's that recipe that I'm going to try.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a scone-ish recipe.
Oh.
Because it has yogurt and flour mm-hmm. and all of that. And it has tons of fresh dill in it.
Sort of like cheese. A biscuit kind of thing?
It's biscuit almost scone. Like biscuits. Scone, like savory.
Yum.
So I'm going to, when you offered, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, when you do that, I hope you'll post it on our Stirring the
course.
Pot page. Because that sounds like a recipe I'd love to have. Mm-hmm. It sounds really good.
Yeah.
So I picked up on the word fava bean. And I've always said, do me a fava and leave them gone. I can't eat them.
Yeah.
You don't like them?
No.
I don't know what's the matter. I used to be that way with lima beans. And now I really like lima beans if they're fresh, not canned ones.
How related are those two? I'm thinking.
I thought they were the same, but.
I did too.
But the people.
No, one's white, lima beans are green.
Must look up. Please keep talking.
Must look
That's
up.
That's what I love about Heidi. She'll just go online mm-hmm. and she'll compare
I think they're related, but I don't think they're the same.
I don't know.
Well, we'll find out. We will find out. So, are you, when you're in Turkey, in Turkey in mm-hmm. the summertime, do you have picnics? I mean, do people do a lot of alfresco dining?
Yeah. We make a lot of salads, a lot of dolmas. It's dolmas and a little barbecues. Like we make köfte. And then so you, the picnic places has little barbecue places.
Little grills.
And then you make the little köftes and then people just cook it and inside of a bread.
Explain to me what a köfte is.
Köfte is the Turkish meatballs. Mm-hmm. So it has lots of
oregano. Is it lamb?
Oregano. It's lamb or veal or mix, you know. And it has onions, stale bread, lots of oregano, cumin, a loaf of pepper, black pepper. What am I forgetting?
I'm hungry.
So you mix that all really well, and then you make your little köfte, and people usually put them in the freezer, so by the time you get to there, and then you just cook them, and you have these fresh breads that you buy from the bakery on the way to the picnic place. You cut them, and you put the onions and the parsley mixed with sumac.
You know how to eat.
Yeah, she does. She does know how to
That's
eat.
A party.
She knows how to cook, too.
Lots of dolmas. Which it's a lot of Turkish women, they know how to make dolmas. I don't. Mm. I love to eat them.
I do, too.
My mother-in-law makes really great dolmas.
Does she?
So every time we were there, it's like she would make, and I would eat that all day long because I just love it.
That would be a fun project to do someday, is to experiment with making dolmas.
Yeah.
I've never made them.
Luch made them for me.
Did he?
Which is great, but it's a lot of work.
Because it was his mom that
knew
how.
Yeah, I think he's got the genes.
Yeah. He's got the hookups. Yeah.
So no, it is a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
But you know, good. you have your project cooking, and that's fun. That's a really fun thing. We had I had dinner with some friends last week, and we did project cooking. We did Vietnamese, which we'd never done before. And so my friends Joe and Evan invited me over, and they said, let's cook this afternoon. And Joe, Evan made caramelized. We had a discussion about caramel and caramel too. But he made caramelized pork. And I made what was supposed to be a wonderful salad roll, fresh roll, but I couldn't find any wrappers on Vashon. So I made a big salad instead out of everything, you know, and I'd already made the peanut sauce.
Rice
paper? I couldn't find, and I always thought Thriftway had them, but they didn't. Yeah. So anyway, that was project cooking, and it was just fun to spend the day in the kitchen doing something that we weren't accustomed to. And you can have a glass of wine and visit a little bit, and you know, that's kind of fun. So
that's a yummy salad. Oh, this just in, fava beans are not the same as lima
beans. I knew they weren't. You wouldn't listen to me.
Fava beans, I just don't know. So I looked it up. But fava beans are also known as broad beans, and they have a firmer texture, and they're supposed to be a little bit more flavorful. With a grassier flavor, whereas I know, and lima beans are also called butter beans, and they have a milder and creamier, velvety texture. But I don't really like lima beans personally. That's just
but don't you like butter beans?
I don't know.
Because here's the thing: I got a recipe for this butter bean dish, and I'll email it to you.
Okay.
And it's got harissa sauce in it, and onions, and you saute all this stuff together, and you use it as a spread on bread with the whole beans.
Yeah.
And so I ordered a case of butter beans, and I got them in my pantry.
Whoa.
They are so good, and yes, they are a lima bean, but they're not green. You know, you see the green lima beans in the can, like third grade cafeteria lunchroom lima beans.
Yeah.
No,
but see, those sound like fava beans by that.
But
description.
They're not. They're
Isn't that
they're
funny?
Not. They're so creamy and so delicately flavored. Huh. They're beautifully flavored.
The one that I hate when I translate it, it says broad beans.
Okay. Well, that's the same
is that
thing.
The fava?
That's
that
a fava.
Is. Okay, that's what I don't like.
It's the
like.
Same
that's
thing.
That's the one right
that's
there.
That's the one I don't like.
So
no fava beans allowed in here.
No.
We're gonna kind of have to say goodbye here in a minute.
Can I tell you what I'm making tonight? I kind of told you. I hinted earlier.
Yeah, but you always do something different with your chicken.
So I'm also, that just reminds me, we have a rogue rooster. He needs to die.
Uh-oh.
We ordered all these hens, little baby chicks, and 4 roosters out of the 25.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's a big fail on the part of a certain hatchery, which I will not disparage, but I was very disappointed. Anyway, tonight's dinner will be a roasted hen, not a rooster. garlic with a little bit of balsamic and salt and tons of rosemary from my garden. Mm-hmm. And then underneath it, I'm doing these inch thick slabs, wheels of cabbage, which is so good when all the fat drips down to the bottom of the pan.
So do you set the chicken directly on the cabbage, or do you set the chicken on a rack and the cabbage under the rack? Okay.
Yes. But it's so close in contact because those slabs are so thick, but then it cooks down and shrinks flatter and flatter.
I love
and it's
cabbage.
So good. It sops up all the fats and yummy. But guess what?
What?
We're running out of time.
Uh-oh. It's 3 o'clock. 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Thank you for listening, everybody. It's been a wonderful hour for me. I hope it was for you too. It was really fun. And we will see you in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
This is KVSH. LP Vashon, 101.9 FM. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye-bye.